This is a recording of a Discovery Channel special called Immortality on Ice. This is the audio only for those that like to listen to audio podcasts. I think you can get most of the information that you need, and all the information you need for the test and to understand the discussion that follows through listening to the audio, but I'll also have the video posted in the video podcast, although that won't be up till sometime tomorrow. The recording starts just a little bit in progress. At the opening, they showed a case of a young boy who fell through the ice in a pond and was dead for about 3 hours, and then gradually warmed and revived from death. And it goes on to talking about Cryonex and the prospect for bringing the frozen dead back to life.
But there is a world of difference between a very cold little boy and a frozen solid corpse. Scientists like Dr. Bales and his colleague cryobiologist Mike Taylor are advancing the limits of low temperature medicine. They express little hope for the frozen dead. Taylor uses rabbit hearts to push the envelope of cold temperature medicine. He knows his limits, time and the ice point. Cold hearts come back, frozen ones do not.
What tissues are these?
Cryobiologists still pursue the dream, a bank of much needed human organs for transplant, but it's proving an elusive one.
We cannot even cryopreserve a kidney or a heart. So why would we think that it's feasible to attempt to freeze a whole body?
Freezing does slow down the process of decay remarkably, as accidental experiments in human freezing show. These men perished in the Canadian tundra 150 years ago. Two of the 129 doomed members of the Franklin expedition. Autopsied in 1986, they remained so well preserved, one scientist remarked, they seem more alive than dead. The lifelike faces of the frozen dead long ago attracted the attention of science fiction.
She's alive! Alive!
But they're the ideal language. Another literary device for everyone's favorite, the mad scientist, who would defy death itself, and always with disturbing results. But in the early 1960s, science fiction took a turn towards science fact.
The possibility of life after death is explored in Phoenix, Arizona by the Cryonic Society. A model demonstrates how one person, a California man who died of cancer, has already been frozen. A freezing liquid replaces the blood supply, and the subject is wrapped in aluminum foil and placed in a capsule at 220 degrees below zero centigrade.
In the spring of 1967, a cancer patient, Dr. James Bedford, became the first person frozen of his own free will. At his side was a physics professor, Robert Ettinger, the father of cryonics. His book, The Prospect of Immortality, set forth the proposal that we freeze ourselves for the future and sparked some lively debates.
As a matter of fact, just since the recent event in Los Angeles, several other prospective patients have communicated with these organizations, and there may be several more freezings fairly soon.
Now, Ben, you said something a moment ago. Would you ever seriously consider something like this for yourself?
Oh, no.
I would.
When I came out of
it, I would.
You would,
no, Milton? Absolutely.
Why?
Would you?
Well, because I think life is too wonderful to leave the world. I mean, I think
maybe there's something better beyond all this.
No, maybe some old jokes that I got up there. I'd go.
After putting the idea out there for all to examine, Ettinger sat back to wait for the tidal wave of interest that would surely follow. 30 years later, he's still waiting.
I was obviously very over-optimistic. I couldn't see how it could possibly be delayed more than a few years after my book was published and after the attention was given to it, but obviously I was wrong. But the main thing is just plain cultural inertia, because after all, we're talking about the greatest revolution in human history. And few years is not surprising. Actually, very few people are revolutionaries, even when they're under the tyranny of death.
Immortality on Ice is sponsored in part by a world leader in innovative insurance solutions. Unum, we see farther.
Old age. Words that evoke age-old fears. Being left behind. Left without.
They're supposed to cut out the commercials.
But dignity should not. As you age, you should have the choice of where you live and how you're cared for. Right.
I can't see out of this damn bar. Where's the play button?
1,000 office products, computers, electronics, software. Hey, stop that! All under one roof, so it's easy. There's great stuff like Memorexis, yes.
See spies above. Coming up next on Discovery Sunday, only on the Discovery Channel. The Taurus is the best-selling car in America, and for tobacco.
This one's from 96?
Yep. So, like, things have advanced since then. This is just a really good special. Sorry for the sound quality.
Okay. Declared legally dead 11 hours ago, he is now in a mortuary in upstate New York. Injected with medication to help prevent blood clots and to slow decomposition. He is now being prepared for his cross-country trip by a cryonics team from Arizona. Tanya Jones and Hugh Hickson, along with local coroner Frank Heller, drain Stan's blood before it clots and blocks his vessels.
We're putting Viastan, which is DuPont's organ preservation solution. It's what they use for kidney transplantations and things like that. When we're done with this, we'll pack them back up in ice and ship them out to Arizona, and that's when we'll do the cryoprotective perfusion.
Cryoprotective perfusion amounts to bypass surgery on a dead man. But that won't happen for at least another 24 hours. Stan knew that the road to immortality would be a bumpy one, maybe even a dead end. Born to Polish immigrants in 1896, Stanley Penska lived to see almost all of the 20th century. Stan grew up in Pennsylvania, where his father was a blacksmith. In 1912, the year the Titanic sank, he moved with his family to West Virginia, where he worked the coal mines with his brother Walter. Before the age of 18, he would obtain 2 patents. Later in life, Stan became a builder. Before his life was through, he would try his hand at newspaper reporting, locksmithing, and growing Christmas trees. He would never marry or raise a family. At 99, still hungry for life, he joked about seeing 120. But started stocking supplies to line his icy ambulance to the future.
The patient had it in his house. One of the things he was doing to prepare for his cryo suspension was he bought an ice, a large freezer, and stored a large number of Ziploc bags with ice in them.
The team has finished up the initial part of Stan's suspension. Organ preservation liquids have been flushed through much of his body. His temperature now hovers slightly above freezing. But Stan's journey is just beginning. This is where he's headed. The patient care bay at Alcor in Scottsdale, Arizona. One of only 4 cryonic storage facilities in the world. Another is in Oakland, California. And one near Detroit, Michigan. All told, they are home to only 70 or so frigid pioneers. 700 living cryonicists signed up and ready to join the frozen few. In the house that Robert Ettinger built, his son carries on the family tradition.
This is a 2-person unit. My mother and my grandmother are in this unit. And these units themselves are all, including these earliest units, very safe and effective. The unit itself has no moving parts. Machines are used to pump out the vacuum periodically, but that only happens occasionally. This next unit, another one of our more advanced units, is our largest. It's a 12-person unit in capacity. There are 10 people in it right now. And finally, this is our small unit for pets. It's got a couple of cats in it. Capacity for a few more includes one of our cats, Keister.
At the largest cryonics facility, Alcor President Steve Bridge and his staff care for over half the world's population of frozen human beings.
These are our whole body tanks. In each one of these tanks, four patients are suspended, head down, immersed in liquid nitrogen at 320 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. We have 11 whole body patients here. Now over here, inside these vaults, are many people who chose to only have their heads frozen. We call these neuro patients, and we have 19 of them.
Inside each aluminum bucket is a head wrapped in a pillowcase and synthetic wool. The big tanks have a central rack that holds five heads. There's room for four full-body aluminum pods. A sleeping bag surrounds each body and helps distribute cold evenly. The bodies are stored upside down. If there's a leak and the bodies begin to thaw, the last parts to warm are the brains at the bottom of the tank. Who resides in these unproven time capsules? Among them, a 57-year-old Emmy Award-winning writer, a 72-year-old TV repairman, an 83-year-old dressmaker, a 29-year-old rock musician, a 68-year-old investment secretary, a 30-year-old computer programmer, and Terry Cannon, who died of cancer a decade ago. Her 80-year-old husband, Joe Cannon, remembers the day she died and how the Alcor team waited patiently in the wings.
So she was laying in the hospital, and they gave her about 8 hours to live. My wife didn't die in 8 hours. And to show the type of person she was, she apologized to the fellows for not dying on time, if you can imagine that. I respected her, and she respected me. Now, she was a very smart gal. She had a much higher IQ than I did. And we had a wonderful marriage. To just think of going ahead in the future doesn't really turn me on very much. But the thought of being there to enjoy Terry's company, and perhaps, if necessary, to help her in any way I can, that is what makes cryonic suspension interesting to me.
What are the chances that cryonics will reunite Joe and Terry? Cryobiologists, part of mainstream science, see little hope.
Freezing is one of the most powerful forces in nature. Huge, sharp ice crystals grow inside animals, just like they grow on your windows in the wintertime. Huge fingers of ice reach out, puncturing cells, destroying organs, and really killing everything in its path.
Descends in Canada. Some animals head south for warmer climates. Others stay put to face the icy winter. Canadian cryobiologists Ken and Janet Story study animals that survive the winter's worst.
Cryobiology is the study of how cells and organs can survive freezing. And so we'll take a new animal and we'll find that it does freeze, or we'll find that it does endure a stress, and then we'll look at it biochemically, and we'll discover sort of how it does it.
Some simply don't freeze. Many insect larvae of the far north keep ice at bay at astonishingly low temperatures by supercooling themselves rather than freezing. They hole up in the stems of plants and pump themselves full of natural antifreeze, or cryoprotectants, in the form of sugars.
These animals can survive temperatures of minus 40 degrees Celsius, which is some of the lowest temperatures that animals can survive naturally on Earth. Some of the Arctic insects can deal with minus 60 or minus 70 degrees even. It's also the common way that other things like spiders and mites and slugs and things get through the winter.
Larger, more complex species also have evolved such mechanisms for coping with the cold.
These cold-blooded animals are frogs and turtles that live a mainly terrestrial lifestyle. They live on land, and then when wintertime comes, instead of going to fresh water and living underneath in a pond or something, they dig down into the ground. The ground freezes and they survive.
The key ingredient allowing frogs to freeze and thaw is sugar. It helps keep water inside the cell and prevents it from shrinking to the breaking point. As the water that does seep from the cell starts freezing, the sugar-laden cell shrinks, keeping its contents intact. Sugars also change the shape of the ice crystals themselves. They're more rounded, less sharp. When the temperature rises, ice melts and water returns to the cell. The excess sugar is processed and restored in the liver, available for use on another cold day. This frog, seen thawing through time-lapse photography, has survived a minus 7 degrees Celsius freeze. But mammals have no such natural defenses to freezing.
So every aspect of cell physiology, every aspect of every organ of these animals changes fundamentally as ice comes upon them because they've had 100 million years to adapt to this. Mammalian organs will not do this. When you start to freeze a mammalian organ, when you start to freeze a mammalian cell, it doesn't act correctly. It doesn't act logically.
With no cryoprotectants available, mammal cells can't survive freezing. Water leaves the cell rapidly to join ice forming outside the cell. The cell shrinks so much that its membrane is greatly weakened. Ultimately, the unprotected shrunken cell is punctured by the encroaching jagged ice and is damaged beyond repair.
Once the cell is broken, its contents have leaked out. Once a membrane is ruptured and damaged, there is no way to put it back together again. Even at a cellular level, let alone an organ, for instance, that you've taken out and frozen, a heart or a liver, and certainly not a whole body freezing.
Not all scientists agree.
Once you are frozen, it is literally the case that you can spend centuries, if need be, to develop the needed technology.
Stan was willing to wait. He knew that cryonicists are betting on the future.
Is sponsored in part by Nissan, who reminds you that life is a journey. Enjoy the ride.
Like I said, of editing out the commercials, we're checking the track, and the person just pressed record.
Successful reanimation may be found in research facilities such as this one at BioTime in Berkeley, California. Tests are run on small mammals. Cryoprotected blood substitutes, primarily made up of naturally protective sugar compounds, replace blood. Animals are frozen and thawed. Here, a hamster is prepared for the deep freeze. It is cooled in ice to near freezing until its heart stops beating.
As you can see from the tracing, the animal has no heartbeat, there is no respiration, the animal is clinically dead.
The hamster is then placed in a cold bath and brought down to minus 10 degrees Celsius.
After about 20 minutes at this temperature, this size animal will show completely frozen extremities. You can see the temperature will start to drop almost immediately. The hind limbs and the forelimbs will both be frozen solid, as hard as rock. And the majority of the head will also be frozen, including the majority of the brain.
Then there's a 20-minute wait before thawing begins. Perhaps the most famous animal ever brought down to near freezing is this one, Miles the dog.
Miles!
His owner, Paul Siegel, used an early form of cryoprotectant to chill Miles for 78 Miles. Minutes.
This dog has been to the ice point and back. His body temperature was lowered to between 3 and 4 degrees centigrade. He was without blood for approximately 78 minutes, below 10 centigrade, and he's come back 100% functional. This is 9 years since the procedure, and he's still extremely healthy, active, happy animal. And it shows that you can do these kinds of things and live a perfectly intact life afterwards, and I think that's the important message here. Chili dog.
Miles may have been a chili dog, but he wasn't a frozen one. And no large mammal has ever been completely frozen and survived. After monitoring the hamster's body temperature throughout the 20-minute freeze, researchers take the hamster out of the bath.
Well, you can hear that. Tapping his foot. Tapping his head.
The animal is thawed and hooked up to a respirator. And prepped quickly for surgery. Although Stan is dead, the team still fights against time. Before they can freeze him, they need to pump him full of cryoprotectants. The ultimate goal, limit decomposition and preserve Stan's body.
Getting ready to place the thoracic retractor.
They're about to crack open his chest. They need to hook up a heart-lung bypass machine to one of his coronary arteries.
We're essentially going to put this person on bypass. We're going to bypass them through this equipment over here. And we can then introduce a rising concentration of glycerol until we get it up to the level that we're after.
That means that we're going to begin by flushing out the blood and preservative solution that was put into the patient in the field. After that, we switch to what's called a closed-circuit flush, where we're just circulating 5% glycerol solution through the patient continuously. It's kind of a balancing act between monitoring the patient's pressure and get these chemicals in that we need to get in, these preservatives.
Holes are drilled in Stan's head so they can check his temperature and make sure antifreeze is reaching his brain.
We have some temperature probes in the burr holes, and they'll read those and see if the core temperature in the brain is cool enough. They'll leave those in even after this process is over, and they can monitor that as we cool the whole body down, which just takes a process over a period of about 5 days before they go to liquid nitrogen.
Technicians draw blood samples throughout surgery. The team monitors how much antifreeze is made into various parts of Stan's body, so they'll know when to stop pumping. One of the assistants is Judy Muehlstein.
I have the personal idea that I'm helping saving this person's life. Even though they're dead, I feel like I'm helping them and to preserve life.
When she's not helping to freeze the dead, Judy Muehlstein is busy raising a family in Tucson and studying to be an emergency medical technician.
I just feel like we're a normal family. We have 8 children, 7 sons, 1 daughter, a grandson. We would like to have all of them signed up. We realize that this is something that should be of choice.
So far, Blaine, age 13, is the only one who has made the choice to be frozen.
In February, Blaine's grandmother died. That's when he started asking us a great deal of questions.
I just hate the thought of dying. And I like what, you know, like life a lot. So I just want to relive it again.
The Mulesteins see themselves as just a normal suburban family. Their interest in cryonics, to them at least, seems unremarkable. It was Judy's husband, Mark, a computer programmer, who first got interested in the idea.
I think I want to live for the same reason that other people want to live, and I want to see the future for the same reason I want to see tomorrow.
Mark had a close call in a car wreck in February and came very close to death, and it was a real secure feeling, knowing like it wouldn't just be over. We'd have it again.
People think it's just scientists and smart computer people. It's mostly scientists and stuff, but like me, I'm no scientist.
I know what the problem is.
The suspension team has hit a snag.
I'm not running very much low on that thing.
Stan's body is not taking on the cryoprotectants as planned. The heart-lung machine is supposed to pump cryoprotectants into all parts of Stan's body. But there seems to be a blockage in Stan's arteries and a possible buildup of fluid.
Hey guys, you know, we're gonna have edema problems here.
If an artery ruptures, they may not be able to get all the cryoprotectant in. The consequence? More damage during freezing.
Don't take it up too high.
Yeah, don't take it real fast, though. Okay.
The team solves the problem by lowering the pressure from the heart-lung machine.
Okay, pressure starting to climb.
It now pumps antifreeze more slowly into Stan. The situation is stabilized. The blood replacement stage of Stan's suspension is nearing completion. Over 42 quarts of cryoprotectants and other chemicals have been pumped into him. The 5-hour operation is nearly finished.
Now we're actually closing the skin, and in about a minute we'll be finished.
Preparing and freezing whole bodies is never easy. That's one reason why some people choose the alternative. Heads only.
A lot of people are sort of surprised about neurosuspension, where only the head is frozen. But we think what's going to happen, not that we'll bring people back like a head on a plate, but that we will learn to regrow bodies for those neuro patients. People choose this because it's less expensive, because we can do a better job protecting the brain under some circumstances, because we're only focused on the brain.
Today, several of Alcor's heads are making a short trip to a new, more efficient tank. One head is particularly close to Hugh Hickson's heart.
There's Paul.
Pause a minute. Keep going. I want them all wet.
Another head on the move is Joe Cannon's wife, Terry. They'll reserve a space near her for Joe, who sees no reason to drag his body into the future either.
Since she's a neuro, why, I will go the same way. My lungs are not good. I've smoked all my life. I've got cancer of the prostate. I've had bypass surgery on my heart with one vessel 100% blocked, two 90% blocked, two 75% blocked, and one 50% blocked. And I don't think this old wreck of a body is worth saving if I have to come back with that. But with this body, why, I'm going to be in bad shape to begin with.
But not all in the cryonics movement believe in the neuro option. The Cryonics Institute near Detroit only freezes whole bodies. Their price of $28,000 is a little over half the cost that Alcor charges for just a head, and a quarter the price of Alcor's whole body suspension.
In terms of the newer option, we don't offer it, mainly because our prices are so low already that it isn't necessary, and the second reason is that we think it's a public relations negative. Now, I have no quarrel with the neuro concept. I agree that with respect to patients being frozen today, it will probably be easier to regenerate a whole body from a head than to repair the damage done to the brain.
Nonetheless, Stan decided to travel to the future with all parts intact. Next step of his journey, a slow, careful descent to well below freezing. He's wrapped in plastic bags with wires connected to his brain.
Should have four wires come out of there right now.
These wires will be used to monitor damage that occurs from the upcoming freezing.
Pointed down.
Stan's ready to be lowered into a vat of liquid silicone. A substance that stays liquid as the temperature plunges well below zero. Bottles filled with sand are used as ballast to keep Stan covered. Dry ice is added to take the temperature down from minus 27 Celsius to minus 78 Celsius. Stan's descent will take 3 days. Cryonicists believe that a gradual cooling helps prevent some cracking of tissue and organs.
Immortality on Ice is sponsored in part by Nissan, who reminds you that life is a journey. Enjoy the ride.
Freezing an entire huge organism is so great that we can't fix it. So I'd say the outlook for frogs this spring is very good. Many millions of them will freeze and survive. The outlooks, as far as I can see, for the cryonics patients is very much more guarded, and I don't think anyone will come back from the present procedures.
The wench finally freed, and almost 2 weeks after he died, Stan takes his place alongside the frozen few.
When are you dead? You're dead if you are never revived. So whether you are dead now does not depend on your condition now. It depends on your condition in the future.
Are Stan and his fellow cryonicists nothing more than frozen corpses? Or are they part of one of life's longest and possibly most amazing experiments?